Don't y'all love children? I mean, they, you know, I wish y'all would act more like him. He's free, you know. You're like, do I need to sit here? How many of y'all glad to know that we got a great God? We got a great God. And I pray today that you will hear this message and you'll go with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And I want you to know this right off the bat. It is about living. Life is about living. And we make it about so many other things than living. To embrace life. And I want you to get that word right off the bat. I am called to embrace what? Life. Now really, here's what happens. When you decide as a human being that Jesus is real. And that Jesus is for real. And that Jesus works. And that Jesus brings life. Life. Guess what? Then you decide to invite Jesus Christ into your reality. Isn't that what really goes on? And here's our reality. How many of you all realize this? We've all sinned. Every one of us. And I bring that up every Sunday because you know what? A lot of us don't realize that. You say, what? You mean we don't realize we sinned? No, we try to justify our sin. I mean, we do it all the time. We'll get in groups and say, okay, since we're all doing this wrong, it must be okay. It's called pack sin. But guess what? God says, I want to love you. I want to embrace you. I want to bring the reality of life into you. Now, I want you to get this word, embrace. Embrace it. You are where you are, and God wants you there. What do you think? You are where you are, and God wants you there. You say, well, Pastor, you don't understand. I'm going through some bad stuff. I'm going through some painful stuff. I'm going through some stuff that hurts. You know what I found? How many of you all have found that our God is so great, so beautiful, so wonderful, so real that God goes where we hurt? Now, you're not going to get away from God. How many of y'all glad to know you're not going to get away from God? How many of y'all ever tried to run away from God? How many of y'all tried to hide from Him? Yeah, that didn't work. They tried that in the garden. They was hiding naked. How many of y'all have ever hid naked? You know what will happen? You will be exposed. Hello? Hello? God finds us to bring us to what? Life! Ecclesiastes 3, here's what he says. There's a rhythm to life. And I'm going to encourage you to get a rhythm. To know that all things can glorify God. And in all moments of life, guess what? In all moments of life, I need to embrace the season that I'm in. I remember Labor Days of my past. And now as my journey is a little longer than it used to be, I'm not saying it's real long, but it's longer than it used to be. Guess what I've discovered? I've discovered to embrace the seasons I find life. Here's what I used to do in Labor Day. Here's what I used to do at Labor Day. Labor Day, I would be so sad. Because guess what was over? Summer. Summer was over. Summer was over. And guess what I would do? I would miss all of fall because I was too busy mourning that summer was what? I didn't even know there was a fall because I was ticked. I am messed up. In fact, I am so messed up, I remember as a child, I used to cry. When the snow melted in my yard before it melted in my neighbor's yard. How many of y'all are that kind of messed up? I want to change it and I want to make things my way. And I want it to happen now. I want you to grasp this, folks. A lot of us are not living because we're demanding something happen now. Instead of embracing the season. For you younger folks, if you can embrace this, being a freshman is important because you will never be a senior unless you're a freshman. And we tend to overlook stages in life. And I'm going to encourage you today that we need to embrace them. When you say, this is where I am right now, and I'm going to find God and I'm going to live in it. And Ecclesiastes 3 encourages us to do exactly that. Here's what it tells us. There is a time for everything. How many of y'all glad to know there's a time for everything? Yeah. There's a time and a season. Look what he says. A season for every activity under heaven. How many of y'all realize we're in a season right now? It's Labor Day weekend. Today's the day to seize the day. Today's the day to embrace it. How many of you all realize that if you will embrace the season, life will come forth? I finally embraced that I got older. And when I embraced that I got older, I've had a better time. You know what I found out? In your 40s, you can't do the same things you did in your 20s. You know why? That season is over. Now, luckily, I did everything human possibly in my 20s, so it should have been over. And that's why I hurt now in my 40s. But embrace that season. If you're young, be young. If you're middle-aged, be what? Yeah, I don't know why people fight being middle-aged so bad. I mean, Lord, we roll it back, priest it over. I mean, Lord, it's going to wrinkle up. Gravity has effect on the journey. Amen? You can pull it up, hold it in. But you're going to let it go sometime. Amen? But our job is to live. And here's what I'm encouraging you to do today. To embrace where you are. If you're a young married couple, then guess what? Embrace that season. Quit worrying about being an old married couple. Just be a what? Faithful young married couple. If you're an old couple, thank God you've made it. Amen? See, the season's important. Things change according to the season. If you're a senior adult and you wake up in the morning, you know, you're 85 years old and you wake up in the morning, that's a good day. Many of your friends haven't. Embrace the what? Embrace the what? The day, the season of life. Now go with me to Ecclesiastes 3. It says, God is in charge. And God has structured the activity. And God says, embrace it. Get that word, embrace it. If you're a parent, embrace having children. That's a radical thing to say in today's times. I'm a radical person. I believe parents ought to raise their children. I don't believe it's the responsibility of the school system, the government, the church. It's yours. You made them, you raise them. Embrace them. Be there. And here's what it says. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. How many of y'all realize there's a time that you will arrive and there's a time that you will depart? Life is like one gigantic airport. How many of y'all ever been to an airport? Life has got the rhythm of an airport. Yeah? Somewhere in the middle of it all, we catch a flight. Amen? But you pull into the airport. What does it say? It has two driveways. It has two ramps. One says what? Arriving. The other says what? Departing. So is life. Every week as a pastor at Hillview Heights Church, I do two things. I welcome in new human beings. They're called babies. They've arrived this week. And I say, see you later, some departed human beings. At Hillview, like an airport, they're arriving and they are what? It says there's a time to be born. How many of y'all realize that right now is your time to be born? So guess what our job is? God, I want to discover you in the fullest in this time. If you've noticed, how many of y'all ever been to a cemetery? Been over there. They got these rocks over there. Cemetery rocks. After we depart, they give us a rock. Boy, that ought to excite you about Labor Day. How many of y'all are working all your life to get a rock? Now, some people got big fancy rocks. I haven't seen that that affects death any more than those who have little rocks. I've seen that little rock people are just as dead as big rock people, haven't you? And I have found that people aren't impressed with our rocks. They're impressed with our dash. Because on every one of the rocks, there's the same length dash. No matter what the numbers are, the dash, I've looked at them, they're all about the same little dash. There's a dash mark, and it'll have a year that you were what? Born. There's a time to be what? Born. And then the Bible just as equally speaks, there's a time to what? Die. I mean, it's amazed me when I go to the hospital, people freak out about this deal. I mean, I have people come to me, I mean, they'll have a 91-year-old parent. They'll come out of the hospital distraught. I mean, like, just really crazy, like, this is a big mystery. Pastor, how could God do this? And I'll look and I want to go, how could He not? Every part of them's falling off. You know why they died? It was time to what? I'm not being morbid, I'm being real. You know what we never get on? It's time to live. And the time to live is what?
I want you to get a rhythm. Live where you are now. For those of y'all raising kids, man, embrace them right now. If they're running around the house in diapers, give glory to God. If they just got married, give glory to God. If you just got a new grandchild, what? Give glory to God. If your wife is still with you, what?
Man, I do that every morning. I wake up and lean over there and go, oh, she stayed one more night. Hallelujah. Huh? Give glory to God. I'm living what?
Every day in the reality of God. There's a time to be born. There's a time to die. Now, what do we do in the meantime? In the dash, we live. Get in the rhythm. Embrace the reality of Jesus Christ where you are, and He'll take you where you need to be. Let me get that. Embrace the reality of Jesus Christ where you are, and He'll take you where you need to be. Some of you may be right here in this season of life. I'm not sure Jesus is real. I'm not sure this church stuff works. I'm not sure about the church stuff, but I am sure about the Jesus stuff.
That's right.
I'm absolutely sure if you ask Jesus Christ to come into your life, guess what He'll do? He'll come into your life. Why? He said He would. How many of y'all glad to know that Jesus will absolutely forgive you?
Amen.
Well, then follow Him. Let me ask you a question. I'm going to mess with you today a little bit. Stir you up in the name of Jesus. Why are we so worried, so anxious, and so depressed? I think there's some answers. We don't live. We work. We don't live. We work. Jesus Christ calls me to live. He said, I've come that you might have a full and abundant life. He never said, I've come that you might get a job. He didn't say, I've come so that you might work yourself to death. He said, I've come so that you might, check this out, live yourself to death.
Amen.
In fact, some of y'all need to get rid of a job. I hate jobs. Absolutely. No, I like Him. Let Him come on. He's going to preach with me today. Oh, yeah. I hate jobs. How many of y'all got a job? People with jobs are nasty people. They get up in the morning and they talk like this. I got to go to work. I got to teach school. I got to be a principal. I got to be the sheriff. Now, sheriff, you are probably one of the most... You enjoy what you do. Would you say that? I've never heard you say this. Man, I got to be elected.
Yeah.
I've heard you say, I've been elected. And I'm going to be the sheriff. And we got a happy sheriff. How many of y'all glad we got a happy sheriff? Yeah, watch this. Even when he's arrested, some of y'all, he's still smiling. We going to jail, but Jesus still loves you. Amen? That's the way you ought to live. I mean, you ought to embrace what you do. See, here's what I'm talking about. You don't need a job. You need to live out what you're called to do. Man, I couldn't stand teachers that had a job. You know, it's like teaching me bothered them. I mean, if you're going to be a teacher, surely don't work for that salary. Be a teacher because you're filled with passion. Be a teacher because you're on a mission. Be a teacher because there's a young life that's going to find their destiny because what you teach them. That changes life. Not a job. If you work in the factory, bring life in the factory. Because guess what? Nobody's going to know you there if you don't live. You know what the problem is? We punch a clock instead of live a life. Chris, I'm glad you're the weatherman. You a cool weatherman. You don't get it right all the time, but you a cool weatherman. But you know what, Chris? I don't watch the weather for you to get it right. I mean, there's some people think you like God sends you the forecast. See, I know Doppler radar is fallible. I know God's not.
Amen.
But aren't you glad? Chris kind of starts out the morning with a smile. Like, hey, we're in a drought. But he looks like something's going to happen. This is called living life. Now, how many of y'all miss your life because you never live it? I regret a lot of my college years because I never lived them. I was so busy getting out to go to work that I forgot to embrace life in that moment of time. Elizabeth and I, for a long time in our lives, we were such in a hurry getting somewhere, we never lived anywhere. Isn't that true? Not sleeping, not eating, going 100 miles an hour. Where? Can I ask you all a big question? Where are you going so fast? I know what some of you are doing. Well, my gosh, I'm doing all I can do right now. I'm working all I can work right now. I'm piling it up because I'm going to retire. You know how many people retire at 65 and die at 65 and a half?
Come on.
That's right.
And guess what they did? They never lived. They got an RV, went to one good Sam's Club, stopped three nights, had a heart attack, and went on to heaven. So you did all that for a three-night RV ride. But you missed your children because you were so busy. You missed your grandchildren because you were in a hurry. I'm telling you, church, I'm telling you something. Jesus never was in a hurry, and neither should you be. You got eternity. Chill out. Quit working. Hear me carefully. And start living in your work. Love the people that you're beside. Now work. And embrace it. You know what? Out of 17 years, most days, I love being your pastor. Now, I've had some days I didn't, but at most days, see, I'm going to be really honest with you. But most days, guess what? I don't say this. I got to be the pastor at Hillview Heights Church. I say, I get to be the pastor. And I'm so glad that you all don't make me be like other pastors. That's why I rejoice every day in the Lord. Can y'all imagine me having to like just suit up every day?
Hello, I'm Reverend Steve. God bless you.
That wasn't who I was, and God sent me to a messed up congregation like y'all because He knew I was one of His messed up servants. And He put us together and said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take some messed up people and show the world they can live.
Amen.
That sounds like another story of life when Jesus called these 12 messed up guys who called His disciples. The disciples were not holy. They were messed up. And Jesus said, come on, live with me, and we're going to straighten up your mess. Follow me, and I'm going to show you that my mess is better than your mess. It's blessed. There's a time for everything. Live it. A time to plant, a time to uproot, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to tear down, a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh. Those two things ought to go on in the church. Two things I find don't happen in American evangelical churches. We don't weep, and we don't laugh. We're vanilla. We're like no emotion. And we ought to weep over the tragedies that go on in this world. Jesus did. It ought to weep if somebody's not getting it. But guess what else we need to do? Laugh! It's not that bad. You got a good Jesus. He loves you and forgives you. Why are we all sitting around going like this? Which is, I know it's in vogue to go to rehab and be depressed. That's the new gig in America. You just ain't cool if you ain't been rehabbed or been depressed. Well, just go ahead and be weird.
Come on.
Weep and laugh. Amen?
Amen.
You got to weep to laugh sometimes.
That's right.
There's some tough things that happen in life. That's the truth. There's a time to mourn. And check this out. It's in the Bible. There's a time to dance.
Hello? I'm reading the
Bible they read in the church I grew up in. This is the same Bible that they used to say we couldn't dance. That's because they never wept or laughed either.
Amen.
Now, this includes white people. Now, I didn't say you was going to dance well. Now, come on, hold on. I'm going to show y'all something. How many of y'all, when something great happens in your life, you move a little bit? I've even seen it at 9:30 service. You know, the music gets to going, you get to thinking how great is our God, and y'all will go like this. Y'all are kind of like Quakers, you know, you kind of just, you know, you'll be, and then I've seen some of you even kind of, man, yeah, God. Somebody's going, you know what, I really believe this, the world needs to see the church dance. I don't know about you, but when I get up in the morning, if I feel good, those rare mornings that happens, now, Elizabeth, Lord have mercy, she will make you madder than a hornet. She gets up in a good mood. Oh. How many of y'all got good morning people around you on your morning? Oh.
See, I'm a like four cups of coffee later in a good mood kind of guy. You know. Did you go to the Minute Mart and you got these people, hey, how you doing? It's a beautiful morning. I go, I'm gonna smack you. Elizabeth gets up like every day is the day the Lord has made. I mean, she'll bounce out of bed and she's going, gonna get crazy, gonna go work out, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. This is her rhythm. And I'm going, I'm getting old, man. I can't do that no more. I get up like, oh, man, we got to get up again. I say, Lord, why are the nights shorter and the days longer all of a sudden? And then I'm going like, when did this start hurting? Why is this hurting? And then finally I get around to saying, wait a minute, this is the day the Lord has. I'm going to be glad and rejoice in it no matter what hurts. That'll cause you to start what? How many of y'all, when you feel good, you dance a little bit? I mean, something. How many if you close that big deal? How many of y'all go like this?
I've closed a multi-million-dollar deal today, and it was very good.
Man, I closed a big deal. I'm like, whoa, Jesus. Because every time I see a baptism, I'm like, ow! I'm going to dance because life is good. And I'm telling you, I think the church needs to weep over the sin of the world. They need to rejoice and dance over the salvation of God. We need to start dancing. And if you'll embrace Ecclesiastes 3, it's all in the look. It's all in the look. You can make things miserable or you can rejoice in the Lord. Because I want you to look. Ecclesiastes 3 doesn't say it's easy. I'm just going to tell you right now, we got a society that says if it's not easy, it's not blessed. That's bull. That's bull. Life's not easy. Living's not easy. It's tough to raise kids. They don't do what you tell them to.
Amen.
Don't get upset. You didn't either. It's tough when there's disappointment, there's heartache, there's death, there's calamity, there's surprise. There's departure and there's arrival. There's transition, there's newness. Embrace it. For you college freshmen, you got to embrace being a college student. You're not in Kansas anymore. You're not in high school anymore. For you college seniors, you're going to have to embrace being in the work world. You ain't in college anymore. You can't lay out at your workplace from 12 to 3. They're not going to be throwing a frat party in the basement at IBM. Legally. There's a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. There's a time to embrace and there's a time to refrain. I want to tell you there's a time to embrace, and that's every day. God, I'm going to embrace my reality so I can embrace yours. Two things I see we human beings doing. We always dodge our reality so we never know God's. It's called repentance. God, the reason I feel really bad is because I've not done what you really said do. God, the reason I'm not where I am is because I haven't given the effort to be where you'd want to be. And guys, let me tell you what. If you take your skills, your abilities, your effort, and you go do well, how do you feel at the end of the day? Come on, how you feel at the end of the day? You may be exhausted, but you feel what? I know those rare times I actually do something Elizabeth asked me to do. It's a good day. She says, could you go blow the leaves off the patio if I actually do it? She comes home. First thing she says, you did it? Like, why would you be surprised? I may be tired. My eyes may be swollen together because of allergies. But I accomplished it. I want to tell you, God calls you to accomplish. He's living with you, man. He calls you to accomplish. I'll even tell you this. God calls you to win. God calls you to be your best. I think God calls you to be your best. I don't apologize for that. The only people who are offended by that are people that never give their best. People that give their best, they go, yeah, you're right, Rev. People that are always satisfied with second place will always be in second place. Now, let me tell you where we've changed the rules. We pat people on the head for being second place. We go, oh, no. I want to tell you this. Jesus is first place. And his followers are first place followers. And whether they're embracing or whether they're refraining,
What if you just put those two rhythms in your dance step? I'm going to embrace the things of God in my life, and I'm going to refrain from the things that do not bless me in life. How would your life be? Guys, you ready? I'm not going to call you to work on this Labor Day. Guess what? I'm going to call you to live amidst your work. Bring life to the work. The work won't bring life to you. You'll bring life to the work. Let passion come forth. If you're in quality control, man, that's the most passionate quality control person I've ever seen. Bank tellers, when y'all are happy taking our money, it makes it feel better. Toll booth operators, that's an important job. Used to, if I was coming to Kentucky, I'd be scared to death to come to this place. Some of the toll people were like, but there was always one toll lady. She was like, hey, how you doing? Da-da-da-da-da. I said, man, if I was visiting this state, I'd like to meet her first off. She's bringing life to her work. Don't work to live. Live with working. Look, he goes on. He says, it all happens. A time to keep, a time to throw away, a time to tear, a time to mend. A time to be silent, a time to speak, a time to love, and there is a time to hate. You know what? We don't love enough in the church and we don't hate enough in the church. We do need to hate some things. I hate evil. I hate it every time I hear of a kid that's gotten on crack cocaine or meth and that's taken their life. I hate that. I don't hate the person. I hate those activities that rob life. I hate it when people can't see they can do something and they sit there with all these excuses in their head how they can't have a life. I hate it when people won't achieve when God's given them the ability to live because they would rather talk about what they don't have instead of what they could be. How many of y'all ever do that one? I'm telling you right now, you want to live? We ought to be the best at whatever we touch. Follow Jesus wherever you are. A time to love, a time to hate, a time for war, a time for peace. Be passionate about what you believe in. What does the worker gain from his toil? Good question. So what's in the end? A big rock? Who's going to remember it? I promise you this. If you live with what you do, and you bring Jesus Christ into who you are and what you do, they'll remember Jesus. I'll tell you the truth. If you work in a big corporation, 30 years from now, they're not going to know who you are. Amen. You know how long I'll be remembered as pastor of Hillview Heights Church? About that long. Here's the difference between me and you. I know that. So I know the rhythm of life. I'm passing through and I'm supposed to give life with what I do. But I'm going to pass on, and somebody else is going to arrive in. And that's the rhythm of life. Amen? Don't love work, love your Jesus. And if you love Jesus, you'll love to be in your work. There's nothing here that's permanent. The writer of wisdom, Solomon, says in observation, I've seen the burden as God has laid on man. Underline verse 11. Underline verse 11. Some of you need to get verse 11. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 11. He has made everything beautiful in its time. How many of y'all know some things just need to... Now I'm going to be real Kentucky on you here. Some things need to cure up. They just got to cure up. It takes time. How many of y'all, if it takes time for things to be beautiful, why don't we honor aging as a beautiful thing instead of a scary thing? I love beautifully aged people, don't you? They're a blessing. They're full of encouragement and love and joy, and there's an incredible peace in their life. You know why? They've been living. Be one of those. He says, What man needs to see is that God, He's also set eternity in the hearts of man, yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. I know that there is nothing better for man than to be happy and do good while they live. How many of y'all are ready to be happy and do good while you live? Just do good while you live. Do good with what you have what? Right now. Right now. Now, Connor, you've heard me say this 1,000 times. Boys enjoy playing football. You only get to do it how many times? Once. There ain't no 40-year-olds playing football. Just a few in the NFL. Very few. Because many learn what the NFL stands for. Not for long. Like my nephew, he was a big old giant kind of human being. Played for the University of Missouri. He said when the NFL came in recruiting linemen, they said, "Boys, I hope you got you a great education. Because if you make it into the NFL, you need to understand what its initials stand for, not for long." And he told them the truth. He said, "All you have is the NFL, you don't have anything. If all you have is what you do, you don't have anything that'll last." Guess what? My salvation doesn't come from being a preacher. My salvation comes from being a follower of Jesus Christ. In fact, Jesus won't even speak to me as a preacher. He speaks to me as a follower. It's not what I do. It's who I live that counts. I hate to disappoint you, but God's not impressed with our titles. We are. Maybe we're so impressed with our titles that we've never really embraced what it means to live. So I'll give you the hint. Don't be real impressed with people that have doctor in front of their name. I learned this a long time ago. That means they know one thing really well. And I found most of them don't know how to fix your car. They know one thing really well. And guess what else I've found in life? A lot of people know one thing really well. Really well. And if they'll do what God's given them really well, it'll be a good day. Amen? Y'all getting this? Does this make sense? That's kind of a jazz dance rhythm there, isn't it? Just, I'm going to take what I do and I'm going to do it well and I'm going to bless the world with it. And me and Jesus are going to roll off into heaven together. Amen? That's life. Love it. Live it. Embrace it. I encourage you on this Labor Day, bring life into your work. Because here's what he says. You ready? "That everyone may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all his toil." This is the gift of God. It is important to work. It is important to earn and to celebrate. To eat and drink. Amen? How many of y'all glad you know you go to work and you put food on your table? How many of y'all glad to know that's a great thing? How many know in America not only do you get food on your table, but you can even get a widescreen TV? How many of y'all celebrate you drive a car with air conditioning? You do if it's 103 degrees outside, amen? Embrace life. "I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken from it. God does it so that men will revere Him." Here's what I'm telling you. Live eternity and start it right now. I want to tell you something. Hillview, I hope you're this way. I get excited when I hear this. I don't always hear this, but I hope you're this way. If you're working for somebody, quit working for them and start working with God. I'm going to tell you the truth. The greatest witness we could have in the church, I believe this with all my heart, we need to be the best employees out there. But guess what? Instead, sometimes we're the worst. I heard this one time and I just wanted to... Guy went up to their employer and asked off if they could be off 3 hours early to go to a prayer meeting. You pray after you get done working. That'll show you got a real prayer life. That'll be a real witness. The world's about tired of this jacked up false religious stuff. They're tired of hearing about family values, that's for sure. They're wanting to know where the real truth is. And it ain't in a rah-rah rally somewhere talking about how things ought to be. They're in people's daily lives who follow Jesus Christ, living it out in the reality. I'm going to tell you what we do here at staff. Guess what? I don't work for God. That's why I have a great time. I work with God. On staff, our staff doesn't work for Steve Ayers. I mean, man, that'd be a dreaded day every day. We work with each other. I learned a long time ago, if you think you're the smartest person in the room, you a dumb individual. I've met a lot of myopic. I'm going to use a big word there, myopic. Myopic. Let me bring it down to conduct. Small-minded thinkers. They think their life's experience entitles them to make statements for 6.4 billion people on the face of the globe. How uneducated. God's bigger than Warren County. I know that this is going to blow a lot of you all away. He's bigger than Kentucky. And God does the same thing in different ways all over the world. God loves Japan just like He does Jabez, Kentucky. And if you know where that is, you have been all through Kentucky. Loves us all the same. And He's wanting to bring every one of us to what?
Life.
Life. All right. Did you learn something today?
Yeah.
Well, so what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Watch it. I know. Hey, what are you going to do with tomorrow morning? Most of us aren't going to work. So what are you going to do? Have bad Monday? So you're saving your bad Monday for a bad Tuesday, right? I mean, really, what if we didn't? What if we went to our jobs going, this is the day the Lord's made, and I'm going to be the best in it I could be? I'm going to give you some practical stuff here. Hold on, I'm preaching for just a minute. You ought to be there on time. You follow Jesus. If you write down on your card that you took a 30-minute lunch break, then guess what it needs to be? 30 minutes. If you take an hour and a half lunch break and you write down 30 minutes, you're a liar. And God's not a liar. If you tell a man or a woman that you're going to do this with your business, then you do it. And if you can't do it, you call them and say, I'm sorry, these are the interruptions that happened to me. I really want to honor what I told you to do, but here's where I'm going to be delayed because these things have happened. You may need to get another person to do it if you need to be done that time, and I apologize because I have integrity and I want to get it done for you. You say, oh, Ayers, those are so primitive, such primitive principles. Yeah, we built this nation on them. We sure as heck didn't build this nation on a bunch of people running around saying that everybody needed to be like everybody else. We said we wanted everybody to be the best they could be with who they are. Man, if you pick up trash, you got an important job. You ever seen a city where they didn't pick up the trash? That's a nasty city. What if nobody delivered the mail? Then you wouldn't get any junk mail. Might not be a bad, no. What if everybody at the sewer department decided to not do their job? Then don't you ever look down on what anybody does. Because all of it brings glory to God. Amen. You know who I look forward to as a kid coming to my house every week? The guys that picked up our trash, Mr. Taylor. And I'd wait, I'd hear that old garbage truck, and I was a kid, man, I couldn't wait because he'd let me help him put that thing on the back. And then when I got big enough, he let me pull the lever, baby. And you talking about a week celebration is when he'd hold me right there as a kid, he'd lift me up, and he'd say, pull that lever. And I'd go, and I'd hear, and I was smashing trash, baby. You know why I love Mr. Taylor? Not because he picked up trash, but because he loved me when he picked up trash. He'll have a big house in heaven, a lot bigger than some who feel elite here will have. Those who have looked down on others because their toil is supposed to be sophisticated. We learned a long time ago that some businessmen are just crooks. Enron.
who have destroyed more people's lives than a crack dealer. But we overlook them because they have fine haircuts and they make it to our large executive churches and they look the part of the American dream. God looks at them and sees the trash of their rottenness to destroy life. And He gets ticked because God doesn't breathe death. He embraces what? Life. He'll you be real, man. And when you go to work, you live it up. And you be a great employee. And if you're an employer, you need to employ as Jesus would employ. So that others might live. Amen? I love employers like this. There's been some cool employers in America. I tell you a guy who knew God, and I'll shut up. Sam Walton. They said what they told him that what the executives, the educated of this world, said, your idea will never work, Sam. I'm a CPA, PPA-449-CCA. You know what Sam said? Well, I won't tell anybody what he really said, but he said, I'm going to do it. And he treated people right. Do you realize you got people now who are retiring because of what Sam planted? See, when you're not greedy, blessing can flow. You got people that have worked at Walmart all their life, and they're retiring millionaires. You know why? Because Sam said, I'm going to share it with those who plant it.
Wow.
You know what? The love of God will come out in us. Amen? Are y'all hearing me about living? Don't miss this life. You say, well, Pastor Steve, you don't understand. I got a 2-year-old. They'll be 20 one day. They won't wear diapers. They'll still kick fits. Just be a different kind. Embrace the moment. If you're a grandparent, embrace those grandchildren. Live where you are and let everything have its season and its time. Live as you work and your work will bring life. Amen? Bring life. We're going to continue to work here, Hillview. I want to compliment you. 505 people have confessed their faith in baptism this past year. So come on. That is worthy of His praise. That's what we're about. Did you want me to tell you something? I'm going to tell you something. When it's all said and done, that's all that's going to matter. God's not going to ask you where you worked. He's going to ask you who you followed. And if all you can say is, God, I gave my life to my work. I bet He says, I bet that was hell. I'm going to say yes. He'll say, have some more. At least you're familiar with it. Or we can say, Lord, this is the day You have made and I will be glad and rejoice in it. Even though my toes hurt. And even though it's a tough situation, I will find You everywhere. Here's the good news. Lo, I am with you always to the end of the age or era. Who said that? Jesus. So let's live. Amen. Stand with me. We got a great opportunity today. If you would like full and abundant eternal life in your life, I got a great invitation for you today. Everybody freeze. Chill out. Watch. Get your rhythm. Come on. Here. Shake this out here. Come on. Shake out a little bit. Go get a little Pentecostal. Shake out. Come on. Some of y'all just going to be stiff white people no matter what you do. Okay, come on. Loosen it a little bit. Now watch, watch, watch. It's an altar time. There's some people in here that are yet to receive Jesus Christ. I hope you're one of them today. This is the most important thing we do at the end of every service. We give people an opportunity to receive Christ. Let me help you. This is why it's serious. If people do not receive Christ and they die, they go to hell. We don't want anybody to go there, especially from Hillview. So today, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus, I know You're real. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my what? Sin. I love you, Lord. Will Jesus save you?
Amen.
What?
Yes.
You all absolutely know any human being here today that asks Christ in their life will be saved. How many of y'all are convinced of that? Convinced of that. That's the passion of God. Oh, maybe today some of you need to repent of this. Dear God, I've been working to live. And today, Lord Jesus, let me walk into my work and bring life. Some of y'all need to get rid of your job. Not literally. Please, I don't want mass unemployment here come Tuesday morning. You need to get rid of the concept of job and start having a life mission. And part of my life mission is I go to work here and I bless the people that surround me in this work and I give my best because I'm good at what I do. God's gifted me. And I want to share those gifts. Amen? All right, let's pray. Lord, your Spirit's been here all day. Jesus, I thank you that you don't want anybody to go to hell. And Lord, you didn't just state that. You didn't put it on a scroll. You put it on a cross. And you rewrote human history on the third day when you came back to life. God, there's some beautiful people here today that you created and you let be born in this moment of time. Some today that need to come and say, God, I'm sorry, I've been fighting where you put me instead of bracing where you are. Maybe today you need to say, God, I'm sorry, I've been looking at everything I don't have and I've never looked up at you to see what I really do have. Today, some of you are empty because you've never said, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. Today, some of you wrestle with your salvation because you've never been obedient in baptism and said, Lord, I'm going to confess my faith in you and stand in it. I am not ashamed of the gospel. So God, you have spoken and you do reign. And our God reigns. And so, Lord, right now, draw us in this altar to your peace. In the name of Jesus, what? Amen. This is an altar. There's nothing else more important than people coming to Christ. Today, will you come? Next week at 9 o'clock, I hope we baptize a whole lot of folks. If you'd like to be baptized next week at Godstock, it's finally time to get obedient with God and say, God, I'm going to be baptized like you told me to. And come see Pastor Jamie, and he wants to hook you up. Next week we'll be at Barren River Lake, and you can confess your faith in a great celebration. Amen? Come on, folks. Is everybody in here going to heaven? I hope. But only you know where you're headed. So come now in the name of Jesus. If he's calling you, you come. You know he is. Come on. Don't stand there any longer. Come on. Let him touch you. Let's worship.